Hello, everyone. Get the chat up. Y'all, let me know if you can hear me. Hold on a minute. Let me exit full screen. Okay, there we go. Now I can see everybody. Hello, Tracy. Awesome. How's everybody doing today? Okay, y'all, raise your hand. I'm doing awesome. Y'all, I got up this morning. I slept in a little bit, y'all. I don't know if y'all have seen the, if you've seen Kathy's little live that she did at the 5K. And I think she did that probably around 8:30 this morning. Y'all, I was still in bed. I was like, okay, I could easily make this mean that I am a, you know, lazy person, but I'm just going to make it mean that I got some extra sleep this today and I feel great. And then I didn't want to go to the gym this morning and I just said, nope, we're getting up and we're going even when we don't want to. So I'm doing great. And of course, Kathy's done her 5K already. And then Mary Jo posted in our group that she did 5K at the gym this morning. So we're all about the self-care today. At least I am. Sleep in the gym, and I had a really good breakfast that Brad made for me. So I am fueled for coaching. So, okay, y'all. Somebody be the first. Raise your hand and let's get going. I wanted y'all to be sure and look for Corinne's post. You know, she's on a little vacation this weekend, but she did post today in Facebook talking about don't stop believing the race. And I don't even want to call it a race because none of us are racing each other. That's for sure. None of y'all are. But it is a 5K, 10K, half marathon. The first one we had was last summer. It was hot as balls, as Corinne likes to say, but it was amazing. And I was trying to think kind of my favorite part of the race last year. And I think it was just being at the finish line and, you know, everyone was kind of standing around waiting for others to come in. And we would kind of look in the distance and we'd be able to see, you know, folks coming in. And we just would start cheering. It gives me chills thinking about it. We would start cheering and yelling for everybody. And people would say, oh, that's so-and-so and so-and-so. You know, they, oh my gosh, that's so awesome. And we just would start jumping up and down and clapping so that they were just so, you know, motivated to finish strong at the end of the race. And gosh, and it just happened. I mean, you know, it happened over and over again. And it was just, how awesome was it that, you know, this was a thing where everyone was going to finish, everyone was going to have people at the end cheering for them, no matter what, no matter how long it took. It, you know, we were there till the very end for everyone. And it just was such an amazing experience. So it was just a emotionally just amazing, exhausting day. And so I hope some of you all, we have a few more spots left. So if any of you all are, you know, just thinking about it, considering it. And the really good news is that we are doing some coaching on Sunday, right? We have, it's similar to camp. It's kind of the best of all worlds. Like, you get to do the race, like on Friday, we're all going to get together at the hotel and, you know, do a little info session and then we'll just get to hang out and meet each other. Saturday morning, early, we're going to do the race. And, you know, again, we'll be there until everybody finishes, no matter when that is. Then Saturday, we're just going to hang out at the pool. We're going to maybe take a nap. We're just going to do whatever we want to do. And, you know, if some folks are up for it, go out and sightsee or whatever in Nashville. Saturday night, we have our party like we do at every camp, right? And then Sunday morning, we're going to get up and do some coaching like we do at camp, you know? And so it's like, you get it all. You get to just like hang out with, you know, with Corinne and everybody, just like, you know, chilling. You get to do the race, you get to do some coaching. And so if any of y'all are on the fence, you know, Corinne likes to call it a prickly fence, you know, like you're going to get some splinters in your butt. So if you're still on the fence, get off the fence and just make a decision, right? I'm all about action. I'm the action coach around here. So just get into action and just decide. But if y'all have any questions, you can put them in here, you know, post in the group, because there's, you know, a bunch of folks who did it last year. And of course, the coaches, you know, we can get in there and answer your questions too. So, all right, Tammy, you are first up. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Yes, good. All right. So what's up?
So I wanted to ask about, so I changed jobs in January. I went from a night shift nurse to a day shift, 5 day a week job.
Okay.
In the hospital. And so it is much easier to eat only when I'm hungry. My problem is, so when I first started, I didn't get hungry till around noon. I've been doing it for about 5 weeks, and I'm starting to get hungry around 10, and then I don't usually eat again till about 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. And then by the time it's time for dinner, because I go to bed around 9-something, when it's time for dinner, my biggest struggle is learning to eat a smaller portion at dinner, how to wrap my mind around that and the thought work around that. Of portion size. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that was why I wasn't hungry in the morning so early, but trying to learn how to, what are some tricks or some things that you maybe you've done at dinner time? Do you just put smaller portions on the plate? I mean, I'm just trying to figure this out.
So are you at a, like a true plus, a true minus two when you're eating dinner?
No.
Okay. But
I don't want to eat. And I know it's just thoughts, but I don't want to eat like right before bed. So.
Well, what about like eating something smaller at that 1 or 2 time period?
Okay.
And then you would be actually hungrier at dinner time.
It is a pretty small amount. It is those power bowls that you can get now that are frozen. So it's not like a huge portion of food. I did that to try to lower my portion, because I used to do like a half a bag of a chopped salad with some dressing and some chicken breast.
And this is at the lunchtime, right?
Right.
Okay.
So I went to those power bowls this past week thinking maybe if I ate smaller portions like that, because it's a controlled portion. But
what about eating half of the power bowl?
Yeah, I haven't thought about that.
See, my thing is, what really gets me is like saving money. And like, you know, that's can be a big motivator for me. And mm-hmm. So it's like, if I'm eating less, I can save this till tomorrow. You know, now some people have some thoughts around like leftovers or whatever, but it's just like, you know, you could let, I mean, those lunches could go twice as long as they, you know, as they normally do.
Right.
So, yeah. So just, I mean, it's kind of, but you know, it's funny that like, we don't even think about some of that stuff sometimes. Cause I mean, we're just, and I think for you, and this is for everybody, where it's just, y'all are, you know, doing all this new stuff. Right. And so, you know, it's just, your brain is so used to eating like, you know, certain portions at dinner, kind of a larger portion at dinner. Usually.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then like you get this bowl and it's like, well, I get to eat all of this. This is a serving. It says it's a serving on the, you know, on the package.
Right.
And so it's just all of these kind of different things that you're practicing. So yeah. So it's just try that. Try just eating half, give it a little bit of time, see how you feel.
Okay.
I mean, ideally you want to eat 2 plus 2, you know, every time you eat. Mm-hmm. But if you are, you know, not getting I mean, you just got to play with it. I mean, I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. It's just like, you just got to play with it, and you just don't ever want to, you know, you don't want to try not to, to overeat, obviously.
Right. Right.
So it's just like, can you have a little bit of hunger in the afternoon so that you will, you know, be ready for dinner? But again, just as you lose weight, and just with, you know, what so many of us find out is that we just don't need as much food, period.
Right.
Whether we're, you know, still losing weight or we're at maintenance or whatever, it's just like, and that's a huge change for a lot of people. And
right.
So, but again, it's like, okay, how could that work for me? And for me, it's like, oh, I can save this and have this as another meal tomorrow. And then I don't have to. And my, another big thing is like, I just don't want to think about all these meals. You know, I don't want to have to think about it and, you know, and prep a bunch of stuff if I don't have to. And it's like, okay, if this can last another meal, then that's one less meal I've got to, you know, I've got to worry about.
Right.
So, you know, and it's obviously, you want it to all be food that you like and that, you know, that fuels you and feels good in your body and that kind of stuff. So it's just a matter of playing with it, but it's all, it's letting go of, you know, of rules. It's letting go of, you know, past patterns and things like that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So just, I mean, just kind of play with it maybe for a week or so. And then if you want to come back on, like I'll be on next week, or you could post and ask coaches and just say, this is what I've done, and this is where I was on the hunger scale, and, you know, really track it, really have your data for, okay, you know, so that you can really look back and say, okay, this worked, this didn't, you know, I got too hungry here or whatever. And, but I mean, just some little tricks with the dinner time. I mean, yeah, like a smaller plate, you know, a lot of people just use a smaller plate. A lot of people just stop, you know, make us maybe like a serving that you normally would, but just eat half and then you stop and like give it 10, 15 minutes to really kind of hit your stomach and then, you know, hit your brain and really figure out if you're satisfied at that point.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, initially just kind of serving yourself smaller portions is really the best. The best way to work on that.
Yeah. That's the biggest shock, is how small of amount of food when you've grown up,
yes,
eating such larger portions. That's a lot of mind work.
And that's, and that is, I mean, that is work to do in terms of like, you know, kind of mourning it, right? Where it's just like, it's, I mean, it's really exploring that and saying, okay, why do I feel, you know, let's say you just feel sad about that or something, and you are kind of mourning. It's like, okay, why do I feel sad? What's the thought behind that? You know, I want to eat more food. Why? You know, kind of peel back those layers. And, you know, a lot of times it can just be, you know, food has been entertainment. Food has been a source of, you know, joy and relief and, you know, relaxation or whatever. And so it's like, okay, how can I open up my mind to getting those, you know, to getting that from, you know, from other things. And,
right.
You know, and so, yeah, it's just all that work to do, but it's good work, right? And
yeah,
it's really,
yeah,
the, I mean, it's the work that's going to make the difference in, you know, in keeping the weight off long-term.
Well, at my job, I'm in an office, and there's only one other person that shares the office with me, and mm-hmm, she's quite small. And when I walk, I look at her portion mm-hmm sizes. You know, it's a good example to, yeah, see how she's doing it, and you, it really hones into that process that you don't really need as much food as, right, what is presented at restaurants and all these other places,
yes,
when they give you your portion. It's a much less amount.
Yes. Yes. And it's just, you know, and it's grown over the years, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, okay, and it's just, but again, I just go back to like, okay, I'll just take the rest home. And, you know, I mean, we got Chinese last night. I mean, that's one of the worst, right? Where it's like, I have at least two more meals with my, right, my stuff I got. At,
well,
least.
Proud of myself on Tuesday, my husband and I went out for Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. It was at one of those movie restaurant where you watch the movie and eat at the same time, mm-hmm, and it was an autumn salad with chicken on it, and I stopped halfway through and then took it home and then took it for my lunch the next day. Yeah. I would have never done that before.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, okay, then that's like, I know what I'm going to eat the next day. That's decided. It's, you know, it's just done. So, yeah. But it's also important to practice throwing away food, right? Where it's like practicing doing that, you know, having those thoughts like, you know, food will always be available to me, you know, and that's why I always leave a little bit behind no matter what.
Okay.
I practice doing that. No, you know, even if I'm not even quite to plus two, I just leave a bite behind. I've really gotten into the habit of doing that just to be okay with throwing a little bit away.
Okay.
And, so that's another little thing to practice. So,
yeah, I've considered, cause sometimes my brain doesn't want to stop. And I've considered when I go to a restaurant to ask them to take half of the portions, yeah, put it in a to-go box before they even bring it to me.
Yeah. That's another thing that a lot of people do. You know, some people will like eat half and then, you know, they might need to just get up and like go to the restroom or something just to kind of step away from the food for a little bit, you know, especially at first when you're practicing that.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, even like right when they bring you the food, you could say, you know, can I go ahead and get a to-go box? I know I'm going to need one. And
right,
you could just put it right in there. So yeah, there's a lot of little hacks and tricks like that.
Okay.
Especially at restaurants. Yeah.
All right. Sounds awesome.
All right. Well, let us keep us posted on how it goes.
Okay.
All right. See ya.
So.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, Kara, you're up next. Hi, let me unmute you.
Okay, I've never done Zoom before. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah,
okay.
I'll just wait for you to get settled there.
Okay, thanks.
And actually, somebody last week told me like, that I need to let everybody know kind of where they are in line so they'll be ready. But so, all right, what's up? How's it going?
It's going okay. Kathy suggested that I do one of the coaching sessions. She replied to a comment that I had. That I have been, I'm really good at eating healthy breakfast. I'm pretty good at eating healthy dinner, not eating after dinner. It's like the 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. slot of my day.
Okay.
That is the hardest. And so just for context, I wind up going back and forth between a couple different offices for my job. And mm-hmm. often I'm doing the drive at lunchtime.
Okay.
And so it can be super tempting knowing that I've got lunch in the fridge at the destination office. It's still super tempting to stop. And then I also deal with like stop for fast food. And then I also do like that mid-afternoon, like, oh, I should go get some chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Because just to top it off, I work in a building that has a convenience store in it. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so those are the two struggle points.
Okay, so what is tempting about stopping? You know, like you said, like you kind of set yourself up, right? For you've got the lunch at the other office. So what are you telling yourself that leads you to still stop at the restaurant?
The morning meetings that I go to at the, mm-hmm. I work at a university, so at the one campus, are super stressful. And so usually by the time I've left them, I feel like I don't have a lot of resilience left.
Okay. Okay.
And so it tends to, you know, I've been, you know, in this meeting for 2 or 3 hours and I'm stressed and this would just taste good. So I don't want to go back to my boring lunch that's in the fridge.
Okay. So you're kind of looking for some relief at that point.
Yes.
And your willpower is kind of depleted since you've been kind of using a lot of brain power and stuff in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else could you do to kind of, I don't even know if I like to use the word reward, but it's like, you know, you're looking for some relief. You're looking for a break, right? Kind of before the afternoon starts.
I think that is it. I don't want to go straight back to my office.
Even yes.
I like my office, but I don't want to go straight back. You know, I want this like break.
Yes.
So
what, I mean, do you have a little bit of time where you could do something else?
Yeah.
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 Okay, so what could you do? I mean, in terms of, you know, you could have your lunch there with you. It's like, okay, the food is taken care of. So what are other ways that you could get some relief, get a break between those two kind of that during that kind of transition period.
I mean, one thing that I often try to put on my calendar and sometimes live up to is stopping for a workout.
Okay.
Because I'm lucky enough to have a gym that I, you know, can work out in at work in the middle of the day. So I thought of doing that. It doesn't always read like a reward though.
Right. So. I was just about to say that, this is so funny because Corinne did this like exact, call was not exact, but it was a very similar call with somebody and they were like, well, I could work out or I could, do some work, like some, you know, she's a nurse and she's like, well, I could do my charting. Like when I get home, I could, you know, work out or do, and she's like, you're not going to want to do either one of those. That's why you're eating is because you don't want to do. So, I mean, I am literally talking about like, you could go and park somewhere and take a nap. You could go, you know, look like go to the mall and walk around.
Go to Target.
I mean, you know, you don't want to replace one, form of buffering with another in terms of like, you know, overspending. Right. But I mean, you could just like roam around Target. I mean, I love to roam around Target, you know, and just look at stuff. I mean, you know, but it's a matter of kind of making decision, you know, how much money you want to spend, but I mean, it's like giving, I mean, but that's a way to kind of give your brain a break. Right. So what
the break?
Yeah. It's the break that you're looking for. And it's like, you know, like you said, you've got your lunch set and planned. And so, so what else? So Target, what I used to like to do when I was in, I actually worked at a university too, before I left to do this full time, I would go to like a park and sit in my car and like, you'd see the river and I would just kind of, you know, birds were flying and stuff. And it was just like, I just got to kind of zone out and look at that for a while.
That's a good idea, because there are several places like that in between Campus A and Campus B.
Yes. Or just, you know, listen to something on the radio, you know, drive around or like park somewhere and listen to something on the radio or listen to a podcast or listen to music or something like that, that would kind of give you a break.
Okay.
Or, you know, if you have a book that you really enjoy reading, find a place to just sit and read your book, you know, at your office or, you know, go to the library or something. It's just kind of like opening up your mind, like, okay, I've got this much time. I need a break. I don't want to do it with food. What else could I do?
Okay. That's a really good idea.
Okay. So just kind of make a list and, you know, if you get stuck or whatever, just let us know. You can even put it in that post that you made, that Kathy responded.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Anything else?
Thank you. All right. I don't think so. We'll see how it goes.
All right. Keep us posted.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, y'all. Who's next? Raise your hand. I was saying in the live, yesterday, I want y'all just be lined up. So I can, because I like kind of get into a groove, you know, I get into a flow, as Corinne likes to say. So y'all raise your hand. Good. Okay. Is it Regan? I always want to be sure I'm pronouncing your name right. Are you there?
Trying.
Okay. I can hear you. Okay. I can't see you.
Let's see. Not letting me click the start video.
You may have some kind of setting. I mean, if you just want to talk like this, that's fine. Or you can go back out and kind of look at your settings and come back in.
Well, I'm actually fine with this because I do have a thing with watching myself.
Okay.
So actually, this might be good for my first time.
Okay, that's perfectly fine. No big deal. All right, what's up?
Well, I just jumped on because nobody was in line, which always shocks me when you have time. I feel like it's such a fabulous resource that I just assume there'll be thousands of people lined up. So,
well, you can think. And actually, somebody just asked, can I talk about anything? Yes, y'all, anything.
Right. Well, so. My thing is, I'm one of those that I guess, see myself inside my mind as my future self. Mm-hmm. And so, which is awesome. I feel like I have great self-esteem. I'm, fairly confident in most things that I do, you know, all of that. But I did find when I got on Marco Polo that seeing myself in a video really brought up some thoughts that I am working on. But it's the whole outward, you know, I don't see myself in my mind as everybody else sees me. So hopefully everybody sees me as I see myself, which isn't a true thing. But anyway, so I'm finding it hard to, I can set goals, but I'm not having a lot of, I don't think motivation is the right word, but in attaining those goals, I'm not really hard on myself. You know, Karen always talks about, you know, don't judge yourself, don't beat yourself up. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I truly assess what I did and I move on. And I don't have a lot of guilt or shame, mm-hmm. or any of that. So then in turn, I think that makes it harder for me to work harder towards my goals, because I don't have any of that lingering to make me think about it. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, it's totally great. I mean, it's great that you don't beat yourself up but are you learning from your mistakes and then applying what you learned to keep going forward?
Well, like if I have a grab ass, like I grab ass M&Ms the last 2 days. Mm-hmm. I haven't written them on the plan. It's because they're in the house, because of Valentine's Day. We don't usually keep candy in the house. So, and not for restrictive reasons, we just don't.
Yeah.
So I've done that the last 2 days and I've written it down. And today it's just like, I'm really trying to stay busy so that I don't want to go in the kitchen and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how much I know in my mind, I don't want to do that. And I know in my mind why I don't want to do it, that it's not helping me achieve my goals, it's not, you know, all those things. But then I don't feel like it's sticking, you know, like I feel like tomorrow I could just go grab ass another handful of M&Ms. And it wouldn't be a tragedy to me because I just move on. So I'm trying to find that middle ground of not being judgmental, but then implementing what's in my brain that I know I should be doing.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, first off, it's like you've got some great awareness here. And just in terms of like, you know, you can kind of compare like one day where, you know, what's happening is really working for you. And then the other day where it's like, you said you could just kind of grab ass the candy. And I think for you, yeah, it's just a matter of kind of like pushing yourself a little, you know, challenging yourself or whatever word you want to use, just kind of, okay, you know, yesterday was, I mean, the reality is that some days are just going to be easier than others in terms of, you know, you're going to kind of be able to just manage your mind one day a lot easier than other days, depending on, you know, a million different factors, right? And so it's just like, you say it's not sticking, but I almost think maybe you're having a thought like it should be the same level of, you know, easy or hard every day. And it's just like, it's just going to be, you know, more challenging than others. And there are days when you're going to have to just push yourself a little bit more.
I don't push myself to sit in discomfort.
Yeah. And that's what it's going to take is, you know, let's say, okay, you said you're keeping yourself busy today, you know, staying out of the candy, but
I'm actually glad you can't see me because I haven't showered and I've been cleaning bathrooms.
That was, you need to come over and clean my bathroom. Yes. So, yeah. So, well, it, you know, and it's so amazing what we can get done, right? When we are avoiding the candy.
Right.
But that's actually a kind of another thing where it's like, I mean, you're not really letting yourself sit with the discomfort. You're just kind of avoiding it. And you're you know, one of these days or just even like later on today, you're going to stop and not be distracted with something. You're really kind of distracting yourself as opposed to just letting yourself sit and say, you know, I could go get that candy if I want. There's nothing else I need to be doing right now. And that's where your work is right now. It's like, okay, this is going to suck for a little while. I have a major urge for this candy. It's right there in the kitchen. And I am going to sit here and just, you know, think about, you know, sit with this urge and just sit with
it. Which I can do, you know, like last night I did that because we ate dinner and I was still hungry, but I didn't want to, you know, eat any more. I knew I didn't need to eat any more. And I had my two pieces of sugar-free candy that I allow myself for dessert. Mm-hmm. And then I was up for another 3 hours and I was hungry. I mean, I was physically hungry
And, but all that sounded good was junk. So yeah. I knew I didn't need to go. I mean, I have a veggie tray in the fridge. Did not sound good.
Yeah.
So I knew the M&Ms. So I literally sat in my chair with my dog on my lap. So I couldn't get up and didn't get up because I just knew it wasn't going to be, you know, successful if I went to the kitchen.
So, you know, you can do it. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can do it. It's just that some days are just, you know, it's just kind of, some days are different, you know, where it's just, Emily, I was saying, you know, some days I bound out of bed and go, you know, I want to go to the gym and all this stuff. And this morning it was like, no, I don't really want to. And I was looking for excuses and all that kind of stuff. And it was just like, no, you just do stuff you don't want to do sometimes. And then of course you're so glad, you know, afterwards.
Yes.
That you went. But yeah, so it's just a matter of like, that's totally normal that it is, you know, harder some days than others.
Okay. Well, I just feel, you know, I love the program and everything that it makes so much sense. And I'm, you know, I'm just like, okay, you got to utilize it. You know, it is all in my mind of utilizing this, you know, the tools that you all provide us. Yeah. And, you know, and I've started the accountability program, but I haven't got super far into it yet. So I need to work on that some more this weekend while I have downtime.
But, yeah. I mean, that's something else you could do, right?
You know, yes. And I just am like, come on, you know, use the skills that you know work by every other standard and, you know, everything you watch. And when I use the four basics, it works.
It works.
I can totally, this week I gained 2 pounds and I overate 3 times and I had 4 days that I grab ass something. And, you know, I mean, it was all documented and I, you know, I paid for it on the scale. Last week I lost 1 pound and, you know, I didn't do any of those things.
Right. So it's just like, it's so funny when you're keeping the data and you know exactly what happened, it's like, you can't be confused anymore. Right. It's like, it's so clear, like what works and what doesn't work. And so, but our brain still wants to be confused because that's kind of like the, you know, it just wants to, you know, it doesn't want to have to decide things and all that, you know? And so it's just like, when everything is so clear of what works and what doesn't work, then it's just a matter of doing what works.
Yeah. And sticking to it. That's the hard part.
But I do want you to, I mean, you talked about kind of, I mean, didn't you say earlier, like you kind of don't like what you see on the outside?
Yes. I don't prefer it. I would rather it, you know, and of course that my external will change with weight loss, you know, so I feel, you know, my double chin and those sorts of things will be better. So I don't beat myself up over it.
Okay. But,
you know, like I say, when I haven't really paid attention. And then when we got on Marco Polo, I was like, oh, I don't really like that.
I did want to just kind of, if you haven't gone through the self-love program, it's a real short little thing. There's just like, you know, 4 different videos that Corinne did. Okay. And there's, but she actually focuses on like taking selfies and like seeing pictures of yourself and things like that. So definitely put that on your list to do as well, because, you know, there's the whole thing about how you can't, you know, hate yourself on the way down. You can't, you know, hate yourself to thin. And so it's just a matter of, you know, kind of, I mean, I'm doing some of that. I was talking about that in the live yesterday. Like for me, it's not necessarily my outside, but it's more the inside. And so,
And I reverse.
So I'm practicing writing down 5 things every day that I love about myself, like, you know, inside stuff. Right. And for you, it may need to be, you know, the outside stuff. And just kind of put your brain to work on like things that you do like when you see in the mirror.
Okay. That's a good idea. I have not done that program, so that would be a good one for me to do, because I do find that's more of my hiccup is, you know, the external side. And I don't have, I only have like 40 pounds to lose. You know, I'm blessed in that respect also. So, you know, I'm blessed in a lot of ways. So I guess I keep that inside more than I look at the outside, which is good. Yeah. I mean, you know, overall. So, but there's always things to work on.
Yes, absolutely. So you're, and it just sounds like you're really open to doing the work, whatever is gonna, you know, is gonna help you, but you're, you know, you at this point, you just know that it's just kind of, you just keep going, right? You just keep going and keep learning from, you know, what isn't working, and then just keep moving forward. Yeah. So you're doing great.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right.
It's awesome to listen to you guys. So
awesome. All right. Thanks so much. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. We got a little line here. So I've got Carmen, Crystal, and Kathy B. up. So Carmen, you are next. Hi. How are you?
Good. I'm in hospital at the moment. So
gosh, what's going on?
I'm okay. I had some surgery, so this is day three in hospital. So if I sound a bit croaky, I'm on morphine. But I wanted to jump on and say hi.
Yes.
I've never talked to you before.
I don't think we have, but I know you and
I'm the one from Australia.
So. Yes.
Yeah.
So what time is it there? Is it like tomorrow morning?
It's Sunday morning about 5 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought I'd jump on. So I'm okay. So don't freak out with all my tubes and stuff, but I'm okay. But I wanted to probably, if this was a good time to talk about it. I've talked about it with my accountability partners, but just with my recovery, because I've had some gynecological work done and I'm going to have a really lengthy recovery. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be able to go to the gym for a few weeks at least. And I'm really worried about that because I've just hit Queen's Club last week and I've been training really, really hard and, you know, eating really well and applying all the principles of PMB. So I'm kind of worried about my recovery. Mm-hmm. And I can't get my head around, you know, sort of reconciling how I'm going to, you know, go from being active and doing all of that to sort of having nothing.
Okay. I got all kinds of stuff to say about this. First off, we're going to work on kind of a plan for you, but because you're worried, I mean, that is, you know, and you're all about healing right now, right?
Yeah.
And so like, you don't want to be worried because that brings up those, you know, that's cortisol, that stress hormone, and that can literally like, you know, prevent, you know, slow down your healing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why this is so important. I'm so glad you got on here to talk mm-hmm. about it because, even if, you know, you're, you know, resting and eating what you need to do and all that kind of stuff, like if there's mental stuff going on, then that can really affect your healing too. So, okay. So, first off, you know, you've got doctor's orders in terms of, you know, your physical, you know, no working out or anything like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's real simple where it's just, you know, definitely do not push yourself and that kind of stuff. But here's the deal. Here's how I want you to think about, because I go back to like, you know, exercise is not one of the four basics, right? We have so many members who lose, I mean, hundreds, you know, of pounds and they are not, exercising at all. I mean, it's such a small part of weight loss, no matter what. So I just think it's important to remember that and that it is such a small part of weight
loss. That's hard for me to put because training is a very big part of my lifestyle. But for me to, you know, I understand it completely. It's just this, I guess, a unrealistic fear that I'm going to lose everything that I've worked for.
Well, and here's the other thing. We are not going to kick you out of Queen's Club. If you're in, you're in. So don't worry about that either. So, you know, if you're in, that you're in for life. So that's for everybody to know. But really, so we're down to the food, right? We are down to, you know, the fuel, and really it's a matter of thinking of it as fuel, like healing, like fuel for your healing right now. And, so many folks in the group again have, you know, had surgeries and had all of this kind of stuff and have really done well with the healing because they were fueling their bodies. And so I just think for you, it's a matter of thinking, you know, how can you think about food as a, you know, as a fuel for your healing?
Yeah. Well, I think I posted a photo yesterday in the tribe about, so even I had no choice on my food the first day because, when they planned, I was in surgery. So they just brought me anything, but I was really conscious about still eating to my two.
Right.
Because I thought, well, it's no, I mean, the food's good. I'm in a private hospital, so the food is very good, but I have been conscious of still maintaining the principles. And I think I have planned to have some food ordered. So, you know, pre-packaged meals. Right. So I think I've done well in that sense that I have thought ahead how right. I will go in terms of still maintaining that.
Yeah. And I think,
yeah, go on. Sorry.
No, I was just thinking, you know, and be sure to just kind of be aware, because you're not doing as much physical, you know, movement, then you're probably going to be, I mean, you don't know, but you know, your hunger scale is probably going to be a little bit different during this time, where you may be eating less, you know, less food to get to your plus two. Your hunger signals may be a little bit different. So it's just really getting like really curious about that while
you're. And I think at the moment I'm probably here till for another day. So I'm on a controlled morphine. So it's not making, I'm not hungry at all.
Yeah.
So
I just think it's
kind of food.
Yeah, it's just like being totally open to, like, you know, my body has been through like a trauma, you know, I mean, like in a good way, in terms of, you know, you did what you needed to do in terms, but it's just like your body is going through so much activity in terms of healing, in terms of medications that, you know, could affect things, and just, you know, like, okay, I'm just gonna keep listening to my body, but it just may be some different signals, some different levels of hunger that I'm used to, but it's just all about, you know, staying curious with that.
And I think too, for me, is not expecting that, you know, this downtime is just that recovery time, rather than worrying about, you know, oh, I'm not at the gym, or I'm missing out on that. So that's been that head stuff for me.
Yeah. And that's where you can, I mean, you're going to have time, right, to journal, you know, to really write up.
Yeah. That's the good thing. I've just been while I've been in hospital, I've been, you know, on the page and pouring over all the work and the podcasts and stuff. So I've
I mean, sometimes I think, oh, I wish, I mean, this is, sounds crazy, but it's like, you know, we always think, you know, we want like so much downtime to, you know, to be able to do all this stuff. And you do, right? You have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Actually. But then again, also, you know, like I was telling Kara about, you know, you need a break too, right? You don't just need to, you know, you need to rest your mind, you need to relax and, you know, rest and all that too. So, you know, don't just line up a million podcasts and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Just, you know, watch a show or whatever you want to do, just to kind of, So just kind of break that up, but absolutely, you've got some time where you can journal, you know, journal about those fears of not, you know, exercising for a while. What are you really, you know, what are you really afraid of? What is really, what, you know, what's the worst that could happen?
It's my 40th birthday in 8 weeks, and I wanted to hit my ultimate goal, because it's also March is my 12-month anniversary in PMP. So I wanted to hit my ultimate goal. So I was kind of trying not to let me think of this as a setback, because ultimately the gains from this surgery are that I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to be pain-free. Endometriosis, so all of that's gone, and
I mean, like, it's the opposite of a setback, right? I mean, it is an absolute, like, you know, victory or whatever for you in terms of like doing what you need to do for your body and, you know, to get you out of pain and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, so it's just reconciling that for me. I needed to talk about it, so I'm like, I'm gonna jump on.
I'm so glad you did, because it's just you know, our brain just wants to go like, how is this the worst thing ever? And, you know, let's look for all the ways that this is a setback. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's where the journaling can come in, and like, how is this the best thing that could be happening right now? And just, you know, getting your brain going in that direction. So, but it sounds like you've just got, you know, you're doing great. You got your plans in place. And again, just seeing seeing the food as fuel for your healing and fuel for you to just keep going on your journey, you know, to reach your goal when, you know, whenever that might be. But
Okay.
Yes. So you're doing great. I'm so glad you came on, and we'll be, I saw your message a couple of days ago about the surgery, and I've been thinking about you because, you know, any surgery is, you know, is a big deal.
Yeah. I'm going to hit the morphine again, actually, because I'm sitting up, I'm feeling a
bit. And that's the other thing. It's like, do what you need to do in terms of, you know, your pain levels and all that kind of stuff. It's just like, that's what it's there for. I mean, I have not had much experience with that kind of stuff, but I just hear that, you know, that's why it's there, and just, you know, take care of yourself and your needs right now.
Yeah.
That's important.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad I got to talk to you.
Okay. All right. Keep us posted on how you're doing. All right.
I will.
Okay. Get some rest. Talk to you later.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, I love her. And I'm going to Australia one of these days, y'all. Okay. Crystal is next. And then Yana and Karen. That's who I have lined up. I know. Doesn't she look beautiful laying there in the hospital? Hey, Crystal.
Hello. Betsy, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. This is the first coaching call I've done. So
I love all these people that it's like their first call. So you're figuring out everything. So, okay, what's up?
Okay, so I'm a January newbie, and I had a question about planning, like, exception foods, I guess. So, like, this weekend, I'm at a retreat, a girls retreat, and I kind of put on my plan some of the things that I typically will have as exceptions during that time. So, like, you know, it's junk food, snack-type food, Oreos, you know, candy, whatever. And my question was, you know, last night I found myself eating those things just kind of like at the end of the evening. Like I just kind of wanted them. Like I thought through all of that, and I know that that's not kind of how I should be eating them, I guess. So how do most people plan those things? Like at the end of a meal and shorten your meal some in place of a meal, like just to be able to not eat past your plus two or not eat when you're not yet at a negative two.
Right. So yeah, it's just, I mean, first off, the first answer is just like, it's just, you could just got to kind of play with it. Right. And like your first, exceptions that you plan may not go, you know, exactly the way that you planned. And so you just kind of learn from it and move on. But yeah. So if like, if I was planning a dessert, let's say tonight, then I would, eat, you know, a little bit less like for my dinner. Right. Okay. Or I would, because yeah, like with exceptions, it's always, you know, still eaten to plus two, usually. I mean, the vast majority of the time. That, I mean, and for me, that's what it is for me. So yeah, so you would just eat a little bit less like for dinner, and then you would, you know, still wouldn't be at a plus two for the dessert. Okay. The other thing is that, I mean, kind of what I heard you say last night, you know, kind of last night is like, you maybe had a thought like, well, I plan this, and so I get to eat, you know, I get to eat it, right?
Yeah, right. And I ate all 10 of them, and not just a smaller
one. Yes, yes. Yeah. And so this is an awesome opportunity for you to kind of say, okay, like, why, I mean, to get, you know, get kind of deep where it's like, okay, why did I plan these? Why do I want these? What kind of experience do I want to have, you know, eating this stuff, and like, I lost my train of thought, but it's like, yeah. And so, and it's because it almost just sounded like it wasn't like it was part of a, you know, part of the experience in terms of your girls' weekend or whatever. It was just kind of like, well, I get to eat this stuff, so I'm going to eat it, you know, because I planned it, maybe.
It's more like I need a break and there's really nothing else to do.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Okay. So this is what I was going to talk about. Yeah. And it's like, that's not really kind of the spirit of an exception. An exception is something that you plan so intentionally and so kind of consciously that you like look forward to it all week, and you think about how, you know, why you enjoy it and all that kind of stuff. And like, you know, when you're going to do it, what kind of experience you want to have. Now, it's not necessarily going to turn out that way, but for you, you know, you wouldn't plan it and say, well, when there's nothing else to do, I'll just eat this stuff. You know,
you would
have said, you know, okay, they're going to have this stuff and I want it to be like, you know, a fun thing. Everybody else is eating it too. And we're going to enjoy it together or whatever. And so it's just really intentional and really, really planned. And here's the other thing. You can, with exceptions, if you get to the moment and you're like, you know what, this is not what I want to be doing because, you know, it's just not the experience I was thinking I wanted to have, then you can say, okay, I'm not going to do this. And I can plan another one 24 hours later, you know, or even later after that. You know, you can kind of cancel that exception and then move forward and do something different if you want to.
Now, what do you do as far as like calorie containing beverages to some degree? So like your wines and alcohol or your like, I don't want to say flavored coffee because I've been drinking the better coffee for the most part, but it's still gonna, it's food.
Yeah. It's absolutely like the same thing. It's the exact same thing. So with drinks, you know, I mean, for a lot of folks, that's their exception, you know, stuff is drinks. And so they just plan a certain number and, you know, and you kind of, and especially at first you kind of over plan, right? Because you want to be sure and not go over. And so, you know, you can plan 5, 6, 8 drinks and then, you know, you don't have to do all of those if you drink all of those if you don't want to. But yeah, so it is, again, very intentional, very planned.
Yeah, I think another mistake I might have made was instead of using what I usually prefer for an exception for this, which would be like a double stuffed Oreo, I tried to level up with the thins, which are okay. But they didn't bring me, like, I wasn't having as much fun with that.
No, like, exceptions are like, I mean, I compare it to like that Halo Top ice cream. Now, some people like that stuff. I do not like it. It's weird to me. And it's like, I'm going to have ice cream. I'm going to have full on Ben and Jerry's or Baskin Robbins or, I mean, exactly what I want.
Right.
And like, that's for you. Get the Oreos you want because, yeah, like, you're going to be like, well, that wasn't as good.
Right.
And then that may lead you to like eat even more later. You know, I know it has for me where it was like when I planned something and I was like, well, this wasn't as good as I want, you know, or I tried to level up or whatever. And so it's just like, it's best to just go all out on exactly what you want, you know, the amount and everything that you plan. And it's much easier to move forward because you didn't kind of short yourself, you know?
Okay. So, well, thank you.
Yeah.
But it just all about like process.
Oh, it's just, I mean, all exceptions definitely are something that just take practice and take playing with it because you'll find that like something that you planned, like, and then you eat it. For me, it was like Cheez-Its. Like I thought I loved Cheez-Its and then I planned them. I'm like, I don't even like these. And, you know, I don't even think if I can't like just have the whole box and like eat them mindlessly,
right,
I want them, you know? And so you'll find that like, you'll just have some specific foods that you want to keep planning, but other ones are like out the window. They're just not even worth it and not even good anymore.
I already figured that out with like tortilla chips and processed cheese dip. No, not good.
Yeah. See, that's one of my things. I love that. So that, but you know, it's just like everybody's different, you know? So, but it's kind of fun to just like figure out like, okay, what is really worth it? What do I really, really enjoy? So, so you're doing the work. You're doing great.
Great. Thank you, Betsy.
All right. Good questions. Talk to you later.
Okay. Thanks. Bye. Bye.
All right. Let's see. Yana, I think I'm pronouncing, hope I'm pronouncing your name right. And that was Crystal. Hi. You're sideways. Hold on. Let me unmute. There you are.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm also a newbie, January.
Yes.
Yes, and I wanted to talk to you because I feel like everything that Corinne says about the universe conspiring against me, and stage two is happening.
Okay.
The positives is I learned to journal. I probably journal like 5 days out of seven every week, and I started planning my food, and this is what comes up for me. So normally during the day, I don't have a problem. Even if I substitute foods one for another, it's healthy, and I don't overeat, and I don't have a problem. What's difficult is evenings and wine and cheese or something, even just wine. Because I, like, what comes up when I pause and I kind of try to listen what my feelings are telling me, like, I had a hard day, or I really want to relax, or I want to normalize kind of my balance and know that everything's going to be okay the next day. And I just sit on the sofa and I have my glass of wine or two. And I know this is it. This is what's causing the weight loss or lack thereof.
Lack, yes. So, yes.
So my question is first, do I really need to plan exactly all the meals if I know that the majority, like the morning and lunch, isn't a problem? It's never a problem. Or do I... Or do it do some work specifically on the evenings, because this is where things are happening or not happening?
So my answer is yes to actually yes to both is to like keep planning your breakfast and lunch, even if it is like if you never have an issue with it, just the act of planning it and then assessing it at the end of the day and saying, okay, I did exactly what I planned, because that's, you know, that reinforces in your brain that you can do this, right? That
it's just boring.
Yeah. Well, and, but you know, that's okay. We do boring stuff all the time, right? Yeah. I mean, and this doesn't, you know, and this whole process is not meant to be exciting all the time or not, you know, not boring. It's just, it's just like, but that boring stuff is what builds in your brain that like, okay, I can, if I can do this at breakfast and lunch, let's figure this out, you know, in the evening. So, so my next question is, are you planning your wine and your cheese and all of that in the evening? Are you writing that down?
Sometimes yes. And then I have it. Sometimes no. And I still have it.
Okay. So I want you to plan it. I want you to write it down every day. So that's the first step, is that you have to just plan what you know you're going to do anyway, and then you can do it or not. It's up to you, but you want, if you think that you are going to want it, you put it down and you write it down.
But there is like a little hope that says today I can be better. Today I don't need it.
Well, or but that's today, not working.
And sometimes it works. Well, not always.
But not all the time, right?
Yeah,
and so the first step is just being honest with yourself that, you know, I may do it or I may not, but it's going to be on the plan just in case.
Okay.
And you're probably thinking now, like, okay, if I plan this every day, how am I going to lose weight? Right? So that's the next question that everybody asks, but it's, we're not about losing weight right now. You've got to just, we're all about being honest with ourselves that we are going to plan this because we're done eating behind our own back, right? We're done like wishful thinking in terms of like, I'll do better today, but then you don't, right? And then you drink and eat anyway. So you're just right now practicing being honest with yourself, planning what you might eat and drink, and then doing it or not, but still just being honest with yourself that you might do it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. But I mean, if I plan it and if I have it, I kind of, it's a very stubborn cold. So, so let's say if I plan it, do I still need to do like a pause and analyze what's coming up for me? Why do I want it? Like, or is it okay? I plan it, I have it, no big deal.
No, you want to, I mean, you want to plan it for sure, but then you also want to do your work around why do you want it? Why do you think you need it? And you said like you want like a break. You want to feel relief, did you say? Or did you feel like what feeling are you looking for when you drink at night?
That all the distractions of the day, all the like little annoying facts, all the things, or I miss that, like mostly work related, mm-hmm. that I come to a place where I did my best. It's not a big deal. I'll do better tomorrow. Yeah. So all of that.
So, but does that happen after the drinking? You decide, you say, I did my best and I'll do better tomorrow.
No, it's during.
Okay.
It's like I would have a glass of wine. I sit with it like for an hour. I stare somewhere and I'll just think, okay, this was my day. This is what I did. That was good. That was not so good. I will do it better next time. I take some notes sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a meditation in a weird way.
Okay, so I want you to practice. I still want you to practice. I still want you to plan the wine every day or whenever you think that you might want it. But then one night, I want you to practice doing that whole thing, but not drinking the wine. Because you're doing some good work there in terms of like your thoughts. You've got some really good thoughts there that are working for you. Like, I did the best I could. I will work on this tomorrow. I'm okay. All that kind of stuff. Because that is what is creating those feelings of that you want, not the wine. It's your thoughts that are creating the relief and the relaxation and all of that.
Yes, I know that, but mm-hmm. to come to this place of mm-hmm. just looking at my thoughts and mm-hmm. analyzing the day, mm-hmm. I cannot get there that fast because I feel restless. I feel distracted and not really centered.
So how could you feel relaxed, undistracted, and centered without wine?
I wish you could tell me.
That's what I want you to work on, right? How about just sitting? You could even actually really meditate. I mean, you talk about how meditative it is, but you could just meditate, right? You could close your eyes, do some deep breathing.
I don't believe in it. Sorry, all of my friends, they tried to get me into meditation, but I just feel the classic meditation is just a waste of time.
So, but drinking wine and not losing weight isn't a waste of time?
Oh, it's even worse.
Okay. So how about maybe just, I mean, and I'm not even saying like, the kind of meditation. I'm literally talking about sitting down mm-hmm. and just breathing, not even deep breathing, but just breathing and just doing nothing for a minute. To just relax and kind of get your mind cleared and all of that. You don't even have to close your eyes or anything. But again, it is not, you don't have to have the wine to relax and to, you know, to clear your mind and things like that. Do you think maybe you could just open up to maybe believing that?
Oh, I can totally believe that, especially okay. if I journal during this time.
Yes, yes.
It like, really what helps else me.
Could
like,
you do? What else could you do? You mm-hmm. could journal. What else?
I could go for. Sorry. I could go for a walk.
Yeah. Get into nature and just get into breathing fresh air.
I can clean stuff. I can throw things away, like I can cook. Yes, I like feeling productive.
Yeah.
Where my brain isn't really occupied, and then I can process some.
You could give that a try for sure.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like opening up your mind to, okay, what else could I do that would give me these same results, right? Because you're getting the result that you want at the end. Because you're thinking, you know, I did the best I could at work. I'm relaxed. You know, you want that same result, but how can you do it other than with the wine?
Okay. Yeah, I can try that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just kind of come up with some, and then if you, are you in the Facebook group? Do you do very much in the Facebook group?
I am registered, but it's just, I wasn't very active, to be honest.
Okay. I know that there's already been some posts about, like, you know, how do people kind of relax after work, right? And just kind of decompress from the day. And you could post in there and say, you know, I am working on, you know, working on relaxing at the end of the workday and really, you know, just figuring out different ways to relax after work other than drinking wine. Does anyone, you know, what do other people do? And, but you've got some great ideas already in terms of, but you could also just, you know, like watch a TV show, or you could listen to music, or other things like that, that could still kind of get you into that relaxed state. But it's just a matter of just kind of coming up with some ideas and then trying them out, you know, and just trying and seeing, but still you've got that wine on your plan, because if you do end up still drinking wine, and you will sometimes, especially at first, it's on your plan and you are following your plan.
Okay.
Thank you. So just, you look a little skeptical, but just give it a try.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. Just give it a try and then keep me posted. I'll be on here next week. Actually, I'll be on here next week for sure. So if you want to come back on and let me know how it goes. You know, I'd love to hear how it goes, because, but again, I still want you to put that wine on your plan, because you want to be following your plan no matter what. And again, there are going to be some nights, especially at first, where you're still drinking the wine, but you're also exploring other ways to relax. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Who else is up? I had a few others lined up and then you dropped off. So we got some more time. There we go. There's Kathy. Kathy and then Lenora, you will be next.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Saturday.
Yes. To you as well.
Well, I've been a member since March. Mm-hmm. And when I joined PNP, I lost 130 pounds before I joined. And then I gained 30 pounds while being a member, as I gave up my old diet habits of measuring calorie counting, and I'm working on finding my chew and doing the planning. The good news is I stopped the gain train, and awesome. I'm slowly starting to lose. So, but that's not the reason I'm calling about coaching. The losing that much weight, I have boxes and boxes and boxes of fat clothes. I've had some of these from my largest sizes in a box for nearly 3 years, and I can't seem to get rid of them.
Why not?
So I'm finding that I think I'm going to gain a weight. And of course, I gained this 30 pounds. So I'm thinking, like, okay, that just proves that thought true. But I really don't think I'm going to gain 130 pounds mm-hmm. back. I've stopped gaining. So I just can't seem to get rid of them.
Okay, so but there's you're still having some kind of thought. I mean, you say you don't think you're going to gain the weight back.
Right.
But there's something, there's some thought there that is keeping you from just getting putting the boxes in the car and taking them away.
Yeah, I think part of it is that this is not my first rodeo of losing the amount of weight. I've lost between 75 and 100 pounds 3 times before in my lifestyle. And of course, you know, each one of those diet plans, they worked in the moment, but they didn't work forever. And so, I think you might have hit the nail on the head that I still have some doubt that while I'm learning all of this, that I'm still not 100% convinced that I'm going to need them down the road.
I mean, and like, it's great that you are practicing telling yourself that, like, you know, you're not going to gain and you've stopped gaining. But yeah, there's some little doubt in there. And it's almost like you, well, and then you said, this is not my first rodeo. Yeah. Is that thought really serving you?
No, other than the fact that all those previous attempts have shown me that I can lose large amounts of weight. So that part of the thought of that thought does, I think, serve me a little bit, but
that's not what we're trying to do here. We're not just trying to lose weight, right? We're trying to keep it off.
We're going to keep it off.
In the long run, it didn't work, right?
Right.
And so for you, it's a matter of coming up with something like, I know for me, when I was losing my weight, it was like, I'm just going to do something different this time. This is something different, and I'm just going to try it. And I doubt it. You know, I doubted it for a long time. I still doubt it sometimes. But I'm just going to keep doing what I know is working.
And that thought has, I've kept that thought since March, because obviously I've gained weight. The old me would have just said, I'll F this, you know, move on, find something different, you know. So I've proven to myself that I'm no longer a quitter.
Yeah, you're not a quitter. Okay, so you've been around for a while, so you know about the model.
Yep.
Right? Okay, let's do a model here on this. Because I want to figure out a model that's going to lead you to getting rid of these clothes.
Okay.
So that's in your A line, right?
Yep.
Get rid of the clothes. And you could put, how many boxes you think you got?
They're huge. My husband has them in like equipment boxes. I mean, they're boxes and boxes and boxes. I went from a 24, 26 down to a 14. So with all the sizes in there, with about, you know, all four seasons of clothes. I mean, I have closets full of winter coats. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Okay.
Stuff that I just can't get rid of.
Okay, let's just say boxes and boxes, right? I mean, just
yep.
Boxes and boxes of clothes. Okay, so you said you had a really good thought there that you just said, I'm not a quitter.
Right.
And that's something that's new, right? As opposed yep. to what? How does that feel? I'm not a quitter.
It feels... empowering.
Mm. I love that thought. Empowered. Is it, and how is that different than how you felt maybe with other diets and stuff you were on when you were measuring and all that kind of stuff?
Well, with the other plans, there was always some in doubt because, you know, I had the previous, you know, results of, okay, you know, I'll take it off and then, it'll, you know, and then when I stop, I know I'm going to gain it back and so forth. So what's different this time, this empowerment is that one of the key concepts I've learned through the PMP is that everything I do is a choice. And that empowerment is part of those choices I make. So I feel like that empowerment is making me, leading me to making choices that I want to make.
Yes. And you know, another choice is getting rid of all this clothes, these clothes, right?
Right.
So, because I was wanting to go back and like come up with a really specific thought for you that have to do specifically with the clothes. Mm-hmm. And everything, you know, I can choose to get rid of these clothes, but what else? I mean, what, how do you want to think about these clothes that could lead you to feel empowered and then get rid of them? Because I think empowered is a really.
Well, I don't need them anymore.
You don't need them.
I don't need them. So why hold on to junk and stuff that I don't need?
I don't need them. You could even think like, you know, other people could wear them, right? I mean, other people could be actually, you know, other people on, you know, who are at a different place in their journey. They're not quite ready to lose weight, or they may never lose weight, but they need clothes, you know, they need clothes too. And so it's just, I don't need them. Others need them.
Yep.
I mean, you're actually like, you could even think like, I am preventing, not, I mean, I am, you know, withholding clothes that other people could be enjoying and could be wearing right now.
No, that's a great thought from that aspect. And instead of hoarding them for myself and I don't need it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, I think you really do believe that you don't need them anymore, that you're not going to go back there. But then you can, yeah, have that thought like, I'm actually denying other people these clothes by mm-hmm. just them sitting here in my, you know, closet or garage or whatever.
Exactly. And, you know, I've proven to myself that, you know, I've gained 30 pounds, I've maintained 100-pound loss for 2 years. I've never done that before. You know, so, you know, that just, again, shows evidence that I don't need them.
Right. You know, right.
I need to get rid of them.
And then, and you also have all this other evidence of like what you've learned in PNP and what you know really works, you know, non-scale stuff, right? You've got all these non-scale victories where it's just like, and I think it's really amazing. I'm so glad you came on and you talked about how when you join PNP, you gain some, because that can happen because we are so different, right? We are, you know, we are. It takes, you know, a while for folks to really kind of learn what they need to learn to really get the weight loss going, right. You know.
Yeah, because everything else, you know, all the other plans out there, all about restriction, counting, and all of this. And that was kind of like a kid in the candy shop, so to speak, you know, not being restricted and having to make choices for myself. Yes. And then living with those choices and learning like, okay, that choice did not really served me well this week, you know, I gained weight and so forth. So
yes, and it was just like I was talking to Yana about, that's her name, about the realistic planning, right? Like you have to plan realistically and not even think about losing weight first in our program, because right. You've got to learn that first before you can start to level up your food and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, at first there may be some gain. And there may be, and so many of us with our diet mentality, we're used to just losing a ton of weight at first mm-hmm. and you know, with all these other diets and we're just different. So again, I just think it's really good to point that out. So, okay. So I don't need them. Everything I do is a choice. I'm not quitting. I'm going to lose this weight. For good. I don't need these clothes anymore. Others need them. And I'm, you know, denying them the clothes that I have. So does that feel empowered?
Yeah, it does feel empowered. And I think I've just now made the choice and decision that, you know, Monday's a holiday, you know, so I'm not at work, and to use that time and load up the car. And if I have to take two loads, fine. And just take them over to Goodwill and, just get rid of them and then
and look forward to buying. I can't wait to hear how you feel afterwards, you know, because I just think you'll have a lot more, you know, thoughts and feelings after that where it's just like, okay, you did. I mean, it's like a win-win, right? You're doing it for yourself and then you're doing it for others because you're giving to others that need it. Mm-hmm. So yep. It's like there's no losing here, you know, that's, it's just a win-win. So, okay. So get rid of the clothes. You got the perfect opportunity with the holiday on Monday, and you got time to do it. And so your result is you make a choice.
Yeah, I've made a choice, and I've got room in my closets and attic.
Yes. And yeah, so it's like all these, I mean, and think about that. Like what's going to happen? What are all the wins that are happening here? You know, I'm making, like, I'm being decisive. I'm making choices. I'm helping others. I'm clearing out my house so I have more room. I mean, there's just all this great stuff that's going to come out of this. So I think, you know, but sometimes it's like just making the decision and doing the action, even if some of this stuff up here is still a little bit, you know, up in the air, but like doing the action. And then, like you said, and creating that result that it will go back up and prove the thought true even stronger and even more.
Yep.
So sometimes it's just, I always say I'm the action coach. Sometimes the action is, that's what it's all about. Cause even if you don't quite believe it, don't quite, you know, feel it, but if you just keep doing the action, then it'll go back up and prove your thought true that you want to believe. So, all right. Well, you need to post some pictures or just keep us posted on how it goes. Cause I want to know.
I'll post some pictures in regards to the car full of stuff and off at the Goodwill and so forth. So.
Awesome. Tag me in that.
My husband would be so thrilled because I probably have 20 sets of winter coats in about 3 or 4 different closets that aren't even in a box yet. And he goes, when are we going to get rid of these? And
see, that's another win, is that your husband will be happy, right?
Exactly. I was going to mention, you talked a lot about the Don't Stop Believing 5K. I can't afford to go to that, but I am training for running myself on here. And I just want to give a shout out to anybody that's listening, is that, you know, Jill Angie's podcast, and this her advice is just wonderful. And this morning I did my first, you know, stepped into running. So that was feeling very good today as well.
Awesome. Yeah. I love that, that she's working with us now, because she's just, it's just, you know, so she's got such good advice and such good kind of realistic advice. And it's just all about, like, you know, there's no rules around how much you should run, or you just do what's best for you and what's comfortable for you. So that's awesome. So it felt good.
It felt really good. And for those, I know there's a lot of newbies on this call and they'll probably look at the replay on there. It's that, go back into the podcast where we had Corinne had her on as a guest speaker and talk about, you know, running bras and that, because it's so important to get that right support.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And like the, you know, really managing, like, you know, your chafing and all that kind of stuff. Like I know I, especially in the summer when it's really hot, you know, it's all about like staying comfortable with the right gear, the right, you know, products and stuff, just to, cause you don't want to be, you know, uncomfortable when you're out doing all that.
Yeah. And, you know, let's face it, you know, during the hot weather, we chafe in places anyways, you know, from that aspect, but not to let that be a fear of getting started.
And don't let that be like an excuse to stop, right? It's just like, you know, you got everything you need, and then you just do what feels good and do what, you know, and, you know, push yourself a little bit, but it's like, you're comfortable physically, you know?
Yep. Yeah. It's just like weight loss, if, you know, find something, you know, if that didn't work, find something, try something new, and something will eventually work for you.
Yes.
Well, awesome. Great. Well, I appreciate the time.
All right. I can't wait to see your pictures.
That will be coming. My husband will be so thrilled.
All right. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Lenora, Tammy, and Roz. And that may be all I'll have time for. So. Lenora.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I may have a little glare in the background.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. See me.
Yeah. So I was actually, when I thought about coming on this call earlier in the week, I was going to talk about one thing, but I think I may want to talk about something completely different.
Okay.
So I've been reading Atomic Habits, and I've also been doing a lot of research on trying to, and figure out your future self in terms of what you want to be versus what you are. So I'll give you an example.
Okay.
So I tell myself that I am a confident person versus I'm a person with confidence. I think there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem, because everyone knows me as that unconfident person. I find it very hard to hold on to that belief because of the way they treat me, because they're so used to me being not as assertive or not as confident. And it doesn't necessarily come out in my relationships with people. It comes out in a really weird place, which is tennis, which is like my whole other life outside of work. And so I've found myself trying to become a better tennis player by doing some mindset work and, you know, saying that I'm a confident person on the tennis court, but they don't treat me that way now. So it's almost like I've set this up in their minds, and now I'm a little like annoyed that they're not seeing me. I mean, don't they see I'm like making all these great points and blah, blah, blah. So I think it relates to every part of my life, but that's just a specific example of how it's showing up.
Okay. So why is it important? Like, why? So what? So why is it important for them to know that you're changing or that you're doing things differently?
It's everything in tennis. It determines like whether or not people call you to be their partners, if you're asked to be on teams. It's just everything. So it's like I'm trying to say, no, I'm not that person anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I'd be a head case in tennis. I'd be like losing it on the court and, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want them to see the other side of me so that I do get those opportunities.
Well, and I think there's a couple of things. Obviously you could show it through your performance, right? And through your, your actions.
Mm-hmm.
And, how could you do that? So obviously, through your playing, right? Your confidence, your increased confidence will come through.
Right.
But what about you? Do you usually call others to play, or, how could you kind of change it up there where it's just like, other than just straight out saying, hey, y'all, I'm working on my confidence. I'm really, changing in that area. How can you just through your actions kind of show them that?
Yeah. And that's what it is. I mean, honestly, I'm like a tennis social butterfly. I mm-hmm. pull together play and tournaments and things like that. And I do get opportunities, but I do find that I'm getting more
mm-hmm.
because I'm playing better.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I guess I set the expectation up that that's the way they see me, and I really shouldn't be annoyed because they're not seeing this change in me.
Right.
And I can relate it to weight loss. Like over the last year, I think I've lost like 50 pounds or whatever, which was my mm-hmm. goal for 2018. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, my confidence has increased. Why am I not being acknowledged for this? Mm-hmm. But again, maybe I shouldn't need anyone to acknowledge that.
Yeah. I mean, that's your work to do in terms of like, why do I want others' acknowledgement for work that I'm doing, on myself? And again, with tennis, there is some back and forth, but I just think for you, it's like, I think probably you're just being a little impatient in terms of like, mm-hmm. you just want people to notice like immediately. But
right.
again, through your actions, through your play, through your, showing up more and anything that you choose to do, over time, people are going to recognize it. I mean, they're going
right.
to say, oh, wow, she's showing up. And so, but it's a matter of not having specific expectations on that, not needing that
mm-hmm.
To kind of keep you moving forward and all that kind of stuff. And like that kind of stuff is just like icing on the cake. When people say, you're really stepping up your game and I see so much confidence in you on the court and, you look great and, wow, you've lost a lot of weight and all that kind of stuff. That is just icing on the cake, but it's mm-hmm. up to you and what you do for yourself. That is the real work. And that's really
yeah.
the only thing that you can control, right?
Absolutely.
Is your thoughts about your, yourself.
Yeah, and that's what I'm working on. And I kind of thought that's where this conversation would go, but I just needed to hear from you.
But it is fun though. I mean, it is fun when you, you know, it's all good stuff, right? It's just like, you know, you're doing the work on yourself, but then when other folks, you know, recognize it and point it out, I mean, that's a neat thing. And that's a boost, you know, for sure. But it's like when you get to the point where you don't have to have that, and it's just a neat extra thing, that's when you know you're really where you need to be.
Yeah. That's that self-actualization that we're all trying to get to. Yeah, exactly.
So just keep going and like keep just, you know, acting as if, you know, acting, you know, just keep doing those actions. And then the folks around you will, you know, probably, you know, come around, but it's mm-hmm. like, if they do, great. But if not, I don't need that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Have a good one.
Bye. Let's see. Lenora. Just making little notes here. Tennis, Kathy, close, just so I remember what the calls were about. Okay. Tammy. Hello, there you are. Hi. Can you?
Hi. Say
oh, hi. Okay. I want to make sure I can hear you.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. Okay, what's up? So I'm a January newbie, mm-hmm. and I just need help with a plan. Well, first of all, I'm not feeling real great today, so hopefully I can get through this. But okay. I'm a nurse, and so my hours are really kind of weird at work as far as eating. So I usually eat like at 10 and 3, mm-hmm. Around then. And so when I get home from work, it's like 8:15 and I'm starving. So I keep trying to come up with some plan of what to do.
Okay. Like,
should I eat more at 3 o'clock, like past my 2? Or should I always say, oh, I'll just eat little when I get home. And then I end up eating a full meal and going to bed and feeling like that's how you gain weight, right? If you eat right before bed, or is,
nope,
it, is
nope.
it okay?
Nope.
Is it okay if I eat at 2 at 8 p.m. and then go to bed? No.
It's really not, that is not true in terms of you can eat whenever you want and go right to bed, and that is not how you gain weight.
Okay. Yes. So if I'm hungry, eat, or do you think I should plan more earlier, or...
No, because you don't want to, I mean, you don't want to ever plan to eat past your plus 2. I mean, okay. You could have like, you know, a little bag of nuts or something in your pocket, you know, that you would want, you know, that you could eat at like, 5 or 6 or something like that. But I think, I mean, you know, if the key is that when you get home from work, that you are not yeah. so over hungry that you are overeating. You know, you still want to eat right. to that plus 2, you know, at every meal. And so if you're okay with having that hunger, you know, I mean, what do you think your hunger level is when you get home from work usually?
Sometimes it's a 2. Sometimes I could probably skip. I've made a habit of eating after work. But lots of times I really am legitimately hungry.
I mean, do you think you're at like a -3, -4? I mean, I'm talking about like your negative level, like before you eat.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I am. Yeah.
Okay. So, but that's, I mean, but if it's just, again, if it's just a habit for you, I mean, that's a separate issue, right? If it's just a habit for you right. to eat, you
know, I know it's not supposed
yeah.
to.
That's yeah. But yeah, it's so just like, go ahead.
Well, I'll have a salad or something at 3 and right. think, oh, and I'm fine till I get home. And then it's been 5 hours and I'm like, should I not eat before I go to bed? But you're saying it's okay if I'm really hungry.
If you're legitimately hungry at a -2 or, you know, or farther on the, you know, -3, -4, whatever, then just okay. eat to your plus 2, you know, when you get home. Or, I mean, you know, if you are, if it's maybe not like physically comfortable for you to go to bed at a plus two, you know, you could eat to like a plus one or something. It's just a matter of kind of just playing around with it. And, you know, every day is not going to be the same, you know, like you said, depending on, you know, what you eat and what meals, but it's just getting that, because I think for you, it was like, oh, I shouldn't be eating and going right to bed. And if you can just kind of, yeah. And like, if you can just say, okay, that's not what's going to keep me from, you know, from losing weight or whatever. That's a, you know, disproven science or whatever you want to call it. I mean, and you can Google it or whatever, if you want some more, you know, research or whatever on it. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's not an issue. And so
I plan it, like put it on the plan for after work. And then if I'm not hungry, don't eat it.
Right. Yeah. Because the whole thing about planning is that, you know, you want to over plan, right? You want to have enough food on the plan just in case you need it. But if you don't eat it, then it's fine. You know, it's not like haven't followed the plan. If you don't eat all the food that's on, I mean, you just want to, you know, especially at first, you want to over plan because you want to be sure you have enough food. But then over time, you'll kind of figure out what your patterns are and you'll figure out, you know, how much food you need to plan, but it's perfectly okay to, you know, to not eat everything that's on the plan.
Okay. Awesome. And it's okay to have nuts if I'm starting to feel hungry at work, even if I'm not quite plus two, just to maybe
type you mean over. You mean negative two?
Negative. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's up to you, right? I mean, you want to also practice being okay with a little bit of hunger, you know? And so if you're like at a zero or a negative one, you know, and it's, let's say 5 or 6, then like that may be a day where it's like, okay, I'm just going to practice sitting with this hunger until I get home. And, you know, just, it's going to be a little uncomfortable, but I'm not going to starve to death. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to be okay. And it's doing that over and over again to where you know, you prove your thought true that you will be okay, you know, and, you know, we're okay. We don't have to eat right, you know, when we get the first whispers of hunger, because that's really more like negative one.
Yeah. Right.
But it's, you know, this is all just practice, and yeah, it's all new stuff that's new. Right. And so, but it's the best work we can do. You know, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Good questions. All right. Feel better.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Bye. So many folks are sick. Let's see. Just making a note here. We may have time for a little bit, another person. Rom. Hey. Oh, let me unmute you. There we go.
There we go. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Probably the most unique location. You probably have somebody.
That is my shower.
I'm soaking my feet. I just got back from 4.1 mile run.
Oh my goodness.
You're sitting in my little I think it's like a dish pan that I found at Target that was a lot cheaper than the foot bath.
I've been wanting to get one of those foot baths just because my feet are so cold all the time. And so one of these days I'm going to get that. But yeah, until then, I'm just going to soak my feet in the bathtub.
Well, this was easier than filling up the bathtub. So anyway, plus I'd fall in. Yeah, that would be way too much information, even for this group. So I was kind of wanting to pick your brain on two different issues. The first one is I prefer to call it disordered thinking rather than negative thoughts. My weight loss journey has been sort of, I've never actually stayed on a diet that much, but there have been two different times that I've dropped 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. Both times I've gained it back. The first time was I wasn't really trying to do anything, but I was rehabbing my knee after an ACL reconstruction. So it was actually great. It was the best summer since I was a kid, which is really sad, but because I was teleworking at home, and I go swim as my workout, and I was watching what I ate, and the weight came off because I was swimming so much. So, but that came back on when I went back to the sedentary job. The second time I started with a program that was calorie counting and exercise counting based. I was so excited when it ended because it wasn't sustainable for me to constantly count calories.
Right.
But so PNP has done really well for me. I've dropped 26 pounds. Awesome. And now I've kind of, there's always been in the back of my mind that kind of, you know, this is where you always fall off. Something goes wrong. You don't lose. You hit a plateau. All of those thoughts going through my mind. And I was telling myself, you know, no, those were just thoughts. Mm-hmm. How do I keep that going? I've tried playing with a little bit of the model. Do I reframe it? Do I just say, you know, okay, the scale's not moving, but just keep going back to the basics. Just keep doing it. Keep digging deeper. And that's the chatter in my brain.
Uh-huh. And I think it's a combination. I think it's a combination. Like, I mean, it's definitely, you just keep doing the basics and, you know, and eventually the scale. So are you kind of at a standstill with the scale? Have you been for a while?
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that because I posted in the weigh-in thread that I was actually up, mm-hmm. like a pound and a half. And then I got on the scale this morning, and not only had I dropped that, I was back to the weight I was a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
So and
that pesky scale, I swear.
You know, I'm just like, oh, okay, this data is just weird. I'll just get on it again tomorrow, see what it says.
Okay, so it doesn't really sound like, I mean, and if you ask Corinne about like a true plateau, I mean, yeah, that is like,
plateaued.
Yeah, I mean, that's like 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, that's like, that's a long time. So for you, it's just, I think it's a matter of, I mean, and again, I go back to actions. It's a matter of like, you still do these basics and you keep losing and that will disprove those thoughts, right? Of, you know, of I can't do this, or, you know, or this is when I always go back up and, you know, always, you know, start gaining and all that kind of stuff. It's like, no, I'm going to do it differently. That, you know, you come up with these thoughts like, this time is different. This is a lifestyle, not a diet, because you mentioned at the beginning of your call, like every time I go on a diet, right? And it's like not thinking of this as a diet, but thinking of this as like, this is my life. This is how I live my life now. These are the choices I make about food and exercise and all of that. It's reframing your thoughts around what this is, because this is not the same as a diet, right?
Exactly. And that's why I feel much better with it.
Mm-hmm.
So my second question sort of is not, that's not really an offshoot of that. It's, I think like many of my tribe sisters, I'm a September baby. Mm-hmm. We're seeing sort of this overeating creeping in, nighttime eating. It's not so much the newness is worn off, but I've definitely noticed that there's just sort of been, I'm making the plan, I'm not giving up on that, and I'm evaluating it. But there's all this other nighttime munching that has been going on, and I've been doing the recovery sheets.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, the nighttime eating right now seems to have started from a thought that I could level up by doing more food cooking, using that term loosely, at home.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's just making sandwiches and salad or sandwich and soup and that sort of stuff. And that seems to be, because I'm not going out to eat all my meals, which I was listening to, I think Christy went live in the tribe, I think, mm-hmm. this morning, and that's what she used to. And I do that for a number of different reasons. One, because I don't, cooking for one just, may I say this, it just sucks.
Okay.
You know, it's because I wind up with either leftovers or, you know, it's okay. I don't mind cooking, but I'm not that good at it. And figuring out how to plan for a meal for one gets more exhausting than
mm-hmm.
I'll go to Chipotle. I will have the bowl with the veggies. And when I do that, I don't come home and munch. But mm-hmm. if I make myself my salad with, I'll throw tuna fish in it mm-hmm. and, you know, some cheese or something. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I'm not really hungry, but I start munching. So
yeah.
One of the tools I'll use is essentially it's a pattern interrupt.
Right.
I am fortunate I live alone, so I can have what I have called the no food zones in my house.
Right.
I'm basically all upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just go, no, we're going upstairs.
Right.
And we're not going to eat. And we'll go watch TV upstairs.
Right.
Or whatever it is, read a book, which solves the immediate munching because we're not taking it upstairs. How do I then take that so that I can watch TV downstairs and not be so close to the kitchen? Or then I just
So, my first question is, like, why did you decide to start cooking more?
I wanted to level up it was what I was thinking. Could I save some money? Could I make something healthier? Curiosity.
Okay, and that's good. I mean, you wanted to come from a place of, like, not, you know, guilt that you're not, you know, doing cooking more or that, you know, but you wanted... I immediately think, like, if what you were doing before with eating out more was working for you, then keep doing that. I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that because it was working for you, right?
Right. And some of it was just kind of thinking, you know, I don't really need to spend $10 on dinner. I could buy the bag of salad. So it was.
It's that kind of stuff, but it's not, you don't want to have all that those shoulds, right? Like, I should be cooking more because everybody else cooks more and all this stuff. I mean, if it's from saving money and all that, that's fine. So, but it's all, you know, always comes back to your thoughts. So, like, for you with the, eating upstairs or the not eating upstairs, I mean, you just have set, you know, you can decide that the only place that you eat is in the kitchen or in the dining room or, you know, these specific areas of the house. There's nothing magic about upstairs.
Oh yes. Cause if I'm upstairs, I have to go down the stairs.
But that's again, your thought, right? I mean, like there can be just a piece of the floor that is like, that you do not cross no matter what. I mean, you could literally like put something there, you know, that you would have to climb over or something, you know, it's just like, it's your brain just, you know, I mean, there's just nothing magic about those stairs. It's because it's your thoughts.
That and arthritis in the knees. So they're actually somewhat of a slight physical deterrent of if I'm upstairs, I don't want to walk all that. I don't want to go downstairs because it might be painful to walk down the stairs. Mm-hmm.
But like, what is another thought? Like, I mean, you know, but underneath that, it is like, I am done eating. I'm not hungry anymore. I want to reach my goals. You know, it's kind of digging under that where it's, you know, what are the thoughts that you can use, you know, to be in anywhere in your house and not choose to eat.
Okay. And I noticed this was more coming up when I stayed home and made food because I would eat and then, you know, clean up. And then I need to maybe remind myself you've eaten dinner.
Right.
Because there have been a couple nights this week, I planned a salad and I was still hungry and I didn't have anything else, but I made myself a half a sandwich anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's coming up with those thoughts like, I am done eating, I'm done eating. I'm done. You know, and the kitchen is closed. I like to even like, tell myself the kitchen is closed. I literally turn the light off in the kitchen and it's just, there's no more going back in there because again, there's nothing magic about, you know, going out to eat and then just eating, you know, all that. And there just not being any more food. It's just, it's like you decided that you were done eating, you know, and your brain is just kind of looking for ways to kind of, you know, peek in here and kind of, you know, try to kind of punch holes in your story. But you know, it worked when you were eating out where you were just decided you were done eating and you can do that in, you know, in your house too, when you're cooking at home. So it's just kind of calling yourself out on your BS.
Oh yeah. And there's been definite BS going on. Oh yes.
But you're in a good place. You've got the awareness, you know, you're onto yourself, you know?
Yeah, I am. And it's kind of a neat feeling. And so I'm so appreciative. Thank you for everything.
And just to come from that place of curiosity, right? Like you said, it's just like, you know, this is another place you can be curious. It's like, okay, this worked for me, but how can it work for me in other situations? And, you know, and I am always in control. I always make my own choices. It's not the fact that I, you know, eat out or don't, or that I'm upstairs or not, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
All right. You're doing great.
But I got, well, thanks. I'm going to keep plugging along. And
yes, and you're so, I talk to you all the time in Facebook. You're so active in the Facebook group. It's awesome.
I am. So, yeah. Yes, watch the feed next weekend. Run Disney Princess Weekend.
Yes.
So you're, you know, showing up.
Okay. Now, what is this again? What is it?
At Disney World, they have race weekends, and it is Princess Race Weekend, and I found the perfect tiara to wear.
Oh my gosh, you'll have to post pictures and all of that. Do you live in Florida?
Wands or something. It's just a little headband,
yeah.
But it won't dig in, because I had one from the 99 cent store. If you're doing a race, okay, do you really want the nice one on that may fall off and get chopped on? So I had the 99 cent ones, though. They dig in, like, right here, you know, like the headbands.
Yeah.
Not good for 6.2 miles.
No. So are you in Florida? Do you live there?
No, I live in Southern California.
Oh, in California. Okay, so you're in California.
So I'm flying cross country.
Oh, so you're going, okay, so you're going.
I'm going to Florida to meet up with like thousands of my friends.
Awesome, awesome. Well, you'll have to post some pics and let us know how it goes.
Yep, you'll see the bling.
Okay.
I always post the bling.
Awesome. All right. Good to talk to you, Ron.
Have a great weekend. Hopefully we're getting better weather soon.
Yes. I know. It's chilly out today. So, all right. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Okay. Paula and Carla. Y'all will be the last two.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Oh, it's very bright behind me, but that's okay.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. I can see you.
Oh, good.
What's up?
I am calling, I guess, to talk about, I was doing some work with the accountability course, and I printed out the habit tracker, and I went back through my data for January, and I found, and I knew this without even having to go through all that, but I'm having problems with following my 24-hour plan and also with my with stopping at a plus two.
Okay.
And that typically is in the afternoon, sometime between lunch and dinner. What I do is I'll have some peanut butter on a spoon. So I started to plan it and say, okay, I'm going to plan 4 tablespoons of peanut butter. Mm-hmm. So I started putting that, and that kind of helped a bit, but I'm still going for it even if I'm not hungry, which is frustrating. And then also I'm having a hard time with dinner time, and I'm not necessarily hungry at dinner time. Sometimes, obviously, if I have the peanut butter, that is a block, but sometimes even when I don't have the peanut butter, it's dinner time. I have a family. We kind of spend that time together and I'm not hungry. And so everybody else is expecting to eat. So it's not like I say, oh, I'm just not going to cook dinner for
a
while. And then I guess I could in theory just let them eat and just sit with them and be fine. It's just, I haven't gotten to that point yet. So I'm trying to figure out ways to level that up.
Okay. So let's start with that one, because that one's kind of easy. I mean, it is just a matter of just doing it. It's going to be really weird at first. Like if you're not hungry and everyone else is eating and it's dinner time and they're expecting you to eat and they're probably going to ask you a bunch of questions about why you're not eating, and it's just going to be weird, but it's like getting through that. I mean, even just one time, I think for you, it's just maybe, you know, and then I think it'll be not a big deal.
So just do it.
I'm telling you.
And do it.
It is so funny because like at camp, or I mean, it's just become a joke. Like I am the coach who's just like, just do it because there's no other way to to figure it out other than to just like do it and feel the discomfort and feel, you know, you're doing something different. You're just doing something. And then again, you know, and you could even like anticipate their questions ahead of time and say, okay, how am I going to respond to this? You know, what am I going to say?
And my kids are like, they know that I've been on this journey for a long time. So they're all on board. It's just a matter of when it gets to that push come to shove, like just doing it, I'm not doing it.
Right.
I'm like, okay. And I just fix my plate and we, you know, we sit down and eat. So,
okay. So I want you to do that this week. Cause probably one day this week, you're not going to want to eat dinner. And so for accountability, I want you to post in the group or post in as coaches or wherever, somewhere where I can see it. Well, actually post in the group and tag me.
Oh, sure. Okay. Okay. I will do that. And then the other thing I'm, and I kind of, again, listening to Corinne for the accountability and, you know, having a problem and trying to have a solution for it. So my negative two, or not negative two, because I'm pretty good. Like I said, I'm great at waiting for hunger for lunchtime. I'm not, I do bullet coffee in the morning and then I typically will have lunch. And that's normally anytime between 11:30 or, and you know, one, it just depends on the day. When I'm hungry and then that kind of, if I'm not hungry for lunch until one, that of course affects dinner time. But anyway, stopping at the plus two is also a spot where I just find I'm blowing past it and I realize that I've blown past it. Or sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm like, I should stop now.
And you don't.
And I don't.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating. Because I feel like those are when I did my accountability, in the, my habit trackers, that's where like 40%.
Right. 40%. And that's what's so awesome about this. And I actually like literally downloaded the habit tracker right before I got on here. Cause I'm going to do it too with you all, because it's so awesome to see that visual, right? Like you, it's so clear, you know what your issue is just right.
Absolutely.
But I think for you, it is the exact same thing. It's like when you know that you need to stop and you don't want to, and you know it's going to be uncomfortable and you know it's going to be weird, it is just
it. I getcha. Yeah, it's just that hard. You know, when I was writing down, like, what are my excuses? What are my... You know, and it's hard.
But you can do hard things, right?
I can do hard things. I definitely can do hard things.
You mentioned you've got a couple of kids, you know, you had some babies. That was hard.
I had
what'd you say?
I had two at the same time.
So. Oh my God. Okay. Hello.
And I dealt with them. They're 16 now, so it's crazy, but.
Okay, so you have 16-year-old twins.
And I've mastered a lot of the habits. I mean, I'm 100% on my 24-hour plans. I'm 100% on my assessments. And, you know, I'm doing really good with the water. So it's just...
This is just your next thing to work on. And it's just like... And it's a matter of not, like, beating yourself up that you're, like, you haven't figured this out yet. This is just your next thing to work on. I love that thought, because sometimes I think, oh, I should have everything figured out. And it's like, no, this is just what you're working on right now. And I think for to not forget about the peanut butter. I mean, I think for you, that is, probably kind of become like a habit, you know, like
it is, it's totally a habit. And it's like, you know, my habit used to be, I would pick as I was cooking dinner, and I got past that habit. And then my habit was, I would pick cleaning up dinner about that one time. And I've gotten past that habit. Like I can do that. It's just now it's like, you know, and sometimes I'll have coffee and instead of the peanut butter, but I'm trying to think like, okay, I could do tea. Tea
is
good. I like tea. I'm trying to replace, you know, so
just kind of leveling up. And with the other thing with the peanut butter, I mean, you want to focus on the actions, but then you want to, you know, figure out why you're still choosing, you know, what is it, what's going on in the afternoon that you want the peanut butter, even when you're not hungry.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And it's typically like avoiding something I don't want to do.
Right.
You know, I'm in that slump time during work where it's like, I'm starting to, like, my brain's starting to get tired and it's easy to just step away. And
but the other thing with the, like, when you don't have the peanut butter, then you're probably going to be hungry enough to eat dinner with your family, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I'll probably be hungry enough.
Yeah.
And then, and you know, of course, with my kids and they're active, sometimes mm-hmm. we have commitments that are early, which means dinner is a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. And my accountability partner about that, that I can, it's okay. I'm not going to die or get pregnant right. if I just wait and eat when I get home. Right. As, even if it's 9 o'clock when I get home, I can decide if I'm hungry then and have something to eat then before I go to bed. Cause it's not going to hurt me.
Right. 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 And I think for you, you're just at the point where like you figured out all this other stuff, but it's just time for you to like get a little uncomfortable with some stuff right. and, you know, and then just, you know, and figure that out. But I mean, you've done that already. You've done hard things. So you can, this is, again, this is just your next batch of work to work on.
It's just where I'm at. So
yeah, all right. Where you're at. And you're right where you need to be.
I am. I yes. am. So much. Awesome. I appreciate it, Betsy.
Okay. All right. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I don't want to remove you. Oh, I may have removed you. Oops. Okay. Okay. Carla, you'll be the last one. Hey, let me unmute you. Okay.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm nervous.
All right. You'll just start talking and then you'll be fine.
Well, this was the list I've been making of things that I should, you know, do models on. And okay. there's so many things. But this week I was definitely falling back into my habit of, you know, going to the pantry, chocolate cravings like crazy. You know, my husband went back tonight, so then he wasn't around. And so it's just me. And I would do things like, even telling myself not to do it, I would make homemade chocolate frosting like my mom used to make. It used to be our favorite treat. Mm-hmm. We'd put chocolate frosting on saltine crackers, and those were our cracker cookies. And that's what we took on the road. And so, yeah, I've been doing stupid stuff like that.
Well, first, we're saying it's stupid.
Okay.
Yes. But just kind of say, okay, I made this choice. And why? So you're, do you want to do a model or have you done a model on it? On the frosting?
Hey, you kind of cut in and out on me. So sorry. I didn't hear that.
Have you done a model on the frosting? Why you made the frosting?
Do I know why I made it? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I think the sugar craving, I don't know. Okay. And maybe not knowing what to do. I think I have too much to do in my house. So then my mind wanders. I sit there and I'll listen to podcasts, and there's one where I know Corinne said, and you're probably eating right now. And I'm like, yep. Mm-hmm. It's just old habits that I have to break, you know, and okay. I get home at night and you know, so many hours, I get so much done. And next thing I know, I'm wasting time.
Well, I saw your list. Like you have your list of, you know, of things. Do you have like a big list of stuff to do at night?
Yep.
Yeah. You get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm a perfectionist. So every day I carry my binder back and forth to work and I open it up. It's laying open on my desk. And sometimes I've, you know, gotten my plan done before I've gone to work. And sometimes I take a minute and I'll do it there. And I know what my breakfast and lunches are going to be because what I took to work. Mm-hmm. So that's easy. It's the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. And, but then, you know, again, it's not perfect. It's not written pretty. And I know that that doesn't matter, but I've kind of always been one who, I don't like how that looks. So I erase it and rewrite it. Mm-hmm.
And so for that, I mean, right there with you, sister, right there with you. Okay. And the only way to work on that is to just do it imperfectly. Right. And just move, you know, and let it go and move forward, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah. you know, and the three goals for the day that always kind of changes. I feel like I'm supposed to know exactly what that is. And
okay, that's so funny you mentioned that, because that's what I was going to talk to you about. That list you have of everything that you need to do at your house when you get home, mm-hmm. Put one of those on that list, on that goal list. And you don't have to fill out all three.
Okay.
And I don't think I want you to fill out all three. I want you to just fill out one. You know, pick from your list, whatever it is. Clean out this drawer or closet or whatever. But just one thing.
Okay. Okay.
And that will really cut back on that. You know, you see that big list, you're like, where do I even start? Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a matter of like making, I mean, it'll be huge for you to just make the decision, whatever it's going to be that day, mm-hmm. you know, and if you don't get it done, totally, you can move, you know, you can add it to the next day, you know, you can okay. put it on the next day, but just have one, because I will tell you what, I have had this thing, I've been putting this thing on my list for a couple of weeks. I got married. I need to change my name on my credit card. Uh-huh. I swear I put that on the list and I have not done it. And I have moved it from day to day to day. And so it's like, I almost think I just had too many, you know, I was trying to fill out all three blanks because, you know, I want it to be pretty and all of that. And it's like, no, if that's what I need to do today, I need to put that on the list and get it done.
Okay.
And so I think for you, it's just a matter of simplifying and just making a decision. What is one thing that I can get done? And then if you get that done and you have more time, you can always do other stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's not getting, you know, it's eliminating that overwhelm by just focusing on one thing and then getting into action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'll have to work on that because, yeah, you know, I tell myself even on the way home, okay, you're going to do this. You're not going to go grab the chips out of the pantry, and I'll do that too.
Yeah. Well, and also like your list of models and stuff, like just choose one of those each day, right? I mean, just mm-hmm. just, you know, constrain yourself. It's all about constraint, constraining yourself to just focus on one thing and, you know, and then like you're, and you decide you're going to do it, you know, and this is probably more about like your thing on your to-do list, your goal list. You're going to go straight, you know, you're going to bypass the pantry and you're going to go straight to focusing on that when you get home.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, and just deciding, you know, I don't eat when I get home. I've got this thing on my list that I got to get done.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I can do that.
Okay. All right. So give it a try and keep me posted. Let me know how it goes.
Okay. Nice meeting you.
Yes. You too. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye. Okay,
bye. Oh my gosh, y'all. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. I think that's a record for me. I'm so glad I got through so many folks. And Carmen, you're exactly right. When I was talking to Roz, I was going to mention the four stages of her weight loss. But knowing Roz, I bet she knows about those. Yeah. But that was exactly right. Like she is just moving into that stage two, right? That fun stage two, we like to call the river of misery, where every, you know, the newness is worn off and little quits start to seep in and all that kind of stuff. So, all right, y'all, this was so much fun. Oh my gosh. The time always goes by so fast, but I'm so glad I got to talk to so many of you all today. And, I think that's Carmen who's responding. Carmen, we're going to be thinking about you while you're recovering and taking care of yourself while you're still in the hospital. And then just keep us posted when you know how you're doing and when you get out and all that kind of stuff. But you're going to do great. This is an awesome opportunity, right? For you to just manage your mind and take care of your body. And we'll be here to support you however we can. So, all right, y'all, I will talk to you later. This will go up on the website in the next little while. And y'all have a great rest of your weekend. All right, talk to you later. Bye.